Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Governor Bill Lee's most recent budget, his first in office, totals $38.6 billion. It includes 2 million recurring increases for the primary care safety net. That's divided equally between federally qualified health centers and community and faith-based clinics. The budget also includes a $5 million increase for the Tennessee mental health safety net. He talked about this in his State of the State address on March 4th. What we'd like to do in this edition of Health Connections is tell you more about the safety net programs that exist in Tennessee and how Governor Lee's budget proposal may affect them. Joining me as always is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Brandon. Happy spring.
Let's talk a little bit about what the healthcare safety net is. Governor Lee used exactly that terminology in his State of the State. We'll be using it in our discussion today. What are the safety nets in Tennessee? How do we know what they look like?
Well, let's first look, Brandon, at safety nets in general, and then we can drill down to the Tennessee healthcare safety net. So in general, healthcare safety nets provide essential care to low-income people regardless of their ability to pay, and usually they don't have much ability to pay. Safety net providers, when you look at them in general, include public hospitals, some teaching hospitals, community clinics, federally qualified health centers, which are sometimes referred to as FQHCs, local health departments, school-based health centers, which we have here in Knoxville, special service providers like AIDS and other care, and then private providers who predominantly care for uninsured people. So that's the big picture.
All right, so what sets them apart from the general provider that I might have or different forms of getting health care for people that do have the ability to pay or who are covered by insurance? How is the safety net program different?
They're, for a large part, providing uncompensated care. So there's certain common characteristics that we see about safety net providers. Low operating margins. These people are skimming the line between being in the red and in the black and often dipping down into the red. So therefore, they frequently have to rely on subsidies to offset the cost of uncompensated care. And then another hallmark of safety net providers is the fact that the need for their services generally far exceeds their ability to meet those needs. So this is a tough business to be in.
Well, we've already described a little bit about who seeks this kind of care. Let's get some more detail on that.
Okay, people who use the healthcare safety net include uninsured people. That one's pretty obvious. People with Medicaid coverage and other vulnerable people. Basically, we're talking about people with limited or no access to care. Generally, clients of safety net providers are sicker, needing more complex care for multiple chronic conditions. So not only do they have a need based on their financial status, they have a greater need based on their health status.
Which typically makes their care more expensive anyway. This is something we've heard talked about when we talk about the cost of health care.
Right. It makes care more expensive, and that gets into one of the chronic challenges for safety net providers is how do you go beyond the basics to specialty care, et cetera. It also speaks to the need for better coordination, which is really a challenge for safety net providers.
So let's then talk about what Governor Lee has proposed, and I want to underscore proposal. The legislature has not signed off on this yet. They're in the budgetary process right now. But according to the governor's proposal, what does he want to see happen that's different than what we've got right now for Tennessee's primary care and mental health safety nets?
Okay, to understand what Governor Lee has proposed, we need to do a little history. The Tennessee healthcare safety net funding has decreased by 30% in the last two fiscal years, which would be 2018 and 2019. So this was before Governor Lee came into office. And this 30% decrease is despite a 10% increase in the number of uninsured Tennesseans who rely on the healthcare safety net. So just to paint a picture, in 2016, the safety net budget was $13.5 million. Went down to $12.5 million in 2017, $9.9 million in 2018, and $9.4 million in 2019.
Which is our current fiscal year. That's where it is now.
Right.
Okay.
So the fiscal year 2020 budget proposed by Governor Lee includes 8.4 million base funding for the primary care safety net, plus $2 million in recurring funds. And I want to emphasize recurring because that means it stays in the budget. It's not has to be added in each year for a total of 10.4 million. So we're beginning to rise the primary care safety net funding. The Tennessee Healthcare Safety Net, which is a state program, was established in 2006. And if you think back to what was happening then, that was in Governor Bredesen's administration and the 10 care cuts.
I was about to say, this sounds like it came right after 10 care was contracted in 2004, 2005.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the primary aim of the program then and now is to offset the cost of healthcare to low-income, uninsured adults in Tennessee, looking at the age group of 19 to 64. I think a point is important is that federally qualified health centers receive federal funding. The charitable and faith-based clinics, which are also part of the additional safety net funding for primary care proposed by Lee, do not receive any federal money. So that's an important distinction between the two types of clinics.
Now, what concerns might there be about the Tennessee safety net providers?
Safety nets are not scalable or sustainable, in my opinion. Safety nets are not enduring systems of care with capacity for additional demand.
We already talked about this. They're so often on the brink of financial problems to begin with. Like they're operating at a razor-thin margin.
Right. Safety net providers are providers of last resort. To build a system upon this shaky foundation is a problem from my perspective. The financial viability of safety net providers is increasingly in peril because of the elimination of the individual mandate penalties. This is one of the reasons that we're seeing an uptick in the number of uninsured Tennesseans and uninsured Americans.
Well, let's take a look at a more positive perspective. Are there some glimmers of hope here with Governor Lee's proposal?
Absolutely. I'm encouraged by Governor Lee's additional funding to the Tennessee Primary and Behavioral Health Care Safety Net providers. This is certainly a pivot in the right direction. I am also encouraged because the added funds are recurring funds, which makes them a little more enduring, more permanent. Some think Governor Lee's strategy is a transition strategy. I don't know if this is a fact, but this is being rumored. Governor Lee is adamant, we know this, about opposition to Medicaid expansion. The 10 Care Bureau, at Governor Lee's direction, has been instructed to explore Medicaid block grants. The Trump administration is receptive, and last week, the U.S. House Finance Ways and Means Committee held hearings on Medicaid block grants. So this is moving. Discussions are moving forward, and don't know what the outcome will be, but certainly it's something we need to keep our eye on.
This might be an opportunity then to get a refresher on Medicaid block grants. We did a whole show about this several weeks ago. Listeners, if you want to take a listen to that, go to WUOT.org to the Health Connections page. You can listen to our whole discussion about Medicaid block grants. But now, Dr. Myers, you've raised this point again, so let's get a quick refresher on that.
Yeah, as we discussed previously, Brandon, the fate of Medicaid block grants is far from certain. This is something that we'll be watching for quite a bit of time. We expect there to be legal challenges to block grants. As we discussed several weeks back, block grants are promoted as a way to reduce cost. However, cuts in cost would come from one of three mechanisms: reducing the number of people covered, cutting Medicaid benefits, and/or reducing reimbursements to providers. By going to block grants, it frees up the states to do these things, where today, with the federal control, without the block grants, there are protections for Medicaid beneficiaries. We also, Brandon, must not forget that the number of uninsured Tennesseans is on the rise again. We've already talked about that. The percent of Tennessee adults 18 years and older without insurance grew from 7.5% to 8% from 2017 to 2018, and we expect this number to continue to grow. I think another important point, not necessarily related to block grants, but is important when we consider the safety net funding. And one of the reasons that I would have some concern about safety net fundings is safety net funding, by its nature, is state funding. The feds do not provide funds for safety net providers, and this concerns me about the long-term viability of infusing funds into the safety net. Now, if it's a transition strategy, we're just going to have to wait and see, but this is a concern I have.
What else do we need to know to help inform how we think about this debate as it continues to unfold in Tennessee?
Well, you'll notice, Brendan, when I talked about safety net providers in general, we talked about public hospitals and teaching hospitals. However, hospitals are not designated safety net providers in the Tennessee Safety Net Program. The plight of struggling Tennessee hospitals. Many of them are in rural areas, and it's not addressed in the governor's budget. Now, stay tuned. Maybe there's something coming down the pike. The total demand for uncompensated care does not change when a struggling hospital closes. That demand remains. It's the hospital that's gone. There is a nearly complete spillover of uncompensated care to the remaining hospitals in the region. So it's reasonable to expect that shoring up primary care and behavioral health care are in a community will take some pressure off the hospitals, but this alone will not be sufficient. So we need to keep our eyes on how we're going to help the struggling Tennessee hospitals. Medicaid disenrollments will add to the number of uninsured Tennesseans. There's a number of factors that are increasing the number of uninsured, and so therefore add to safety net provider demand.
As is so often the case with our discussions, especially when they relate to policies or things that are in flux, in motion, obviously we'll keep an eye on it. We don't have the final answer yet. That will come from the Tennessee legislature later on in the spring, and then maybe later we can check in and see how the budget actually resulted versus what the governor proposed. Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, I know you'll be keeping an eye on it. Keep us informed here at Health Connections.
Absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity to do just that.